three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. We've had a bit of a break for a while, but we are back. Joseph here, and we've got Andrew as well. Andrew, say hello.
Hello. How are you today?
Very, very well. We've got a bunch of topics. We've been absent for a while. Life has been busy, but we're back. And topics we're going to be talking about, Moody Mayor's comments on the refs, the UCF at the end of the Cairns game that they played against New Zealand. We're going to talk about the Wildcats. We're talking overrated, underrated players in general, imports, top five, top three. That'll be a little bit of fun. And what else have I got here? Oh, then the run home. This top six thing. It is tighter than a snare drum. Adelaide, South East Melbourne, Perth, Melbourne. Who's going to make it? Tasmania, O'Connor in the mix. Who's going to make it? We're going to go through the schedule, say who we think's going to win, going to lose, and then hopefully get a better picture. Daniel Moldovan's made comments about Aaron Baines in the NBA. We're going to talk about that. Harry Froling, tweet of the week.
Tweets. What's a tweet? Sorry, I'm not sure about that. Is that similar to a Mastodon toot?
It's not a toot. It's not a toot on Mastodon. Is it really?
It really is.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm going to bring the tweet up right away. And this was brutal. This was really brutal. Before we talk about the live event, brutal from Sammy, Oz sports guy. I think he may or may not listen. Harry Froling. This is brutal. You tell me if it's brutal. Harry Froling put up a photograph of him on a plane with no leg room, and his legs were way out in the aisle because he's very tall, about 7 feet tall. And he said, feet out in the aisle. And then the guy, Sammy, replied, blocking the aisle is the best defense you've played all year. That's outside. That's harsh.
Wow.
That has been shared to me by a bunch of different people around the NBA. Actually, it's out of bounds. Sammy, it's funny, but boy, that's black humor. That's harsh.
It's probably accurate in his defense. Like,
you're doubling down.
He's not known for his defensive prowess. He's not quick on his feet. He's not, the sideward shuffle to stay in front is not his forte.
Who did they last play?
Brizzy.
Yeah. I've got the schedule in front of me
They
played. They played a couple of games this round. Melbourne. There was a time where I think Rath and Mays. There was a play where Rath and Mays was just dancing around him. Listen, before we talk about that.
Yep.
The live event. Andrew, give people the crux of it, the dates, the times, and then I'm going to talk about it.
All right, this is a reality. So we are looking at 29th of January at the Backlot Theatre, which is just in North Perth kind of area. Google it, you'll find it. It is a 50-seat boutique theatre. Big screen, big sound system, acoustic treatment, the whole lot. You are not going to get a nicer place. Big comfy seats. You can buy a drink at the bar. You can bring it in with you, watch the game, have a bevy, and just enjoy your experience of watching the Wildcats on high-definition big screen with surround sound.
Yeah.
Why would you not want that? But that's not it, Joe Core. Because after that, for the same $30 that you're paying to get the ticket, you're going to enjoy a podcast event. So there's going to be myself. We're aiming to get you on Zoom.
Hey.
We're going to have the Sport Blokes.
Amazing.
We've got Nick Tan, Perth Wildcats super fan, Perth Bandits, the guy.
I do indeed.
This is all backed up by our friend Adam Westerhout. Hoot, hoot.
The Owl, yep.
From Full Court Fitness.
Amazing.
It's all come together. It's going to be fantastic. $30 to come and see this. Tickets, now, we've been saying this for a while, but tickets literally are now really selling and there's not that many left. So this is your chance. If you're in Perth and you think, I want to experience a boutique basketball event, this is the one to come to.
Yeah, you meet a couple of people. I think it's really good for a couple. And also, when you say there's tickets left, there's only about 10 or so tickets left.
Yep.
Just to be honest with people. They will sell. There may be I wouldn't wait to buy them at the door is what I'm saying. But the people who are going to like it, number one, if you just want to watch the Wildcat, this will be the best way to watch that game. There are other ways to watch it at home. This will be in a theatre. And if you want to see how nice this theatre is, you can obviously Google it or go to our socials, NBL Pocket Pod at Twitter, and you can see Andrew does a piece to camera where you see this thing. And it is big puffy seats, great big screen. It'll be really, really great. And then the other thing is if you've got an interest in podcasting, you want to talk to Andrew about how to do it, what to do it, whether it's a podcast on the NBL or basketball or gardening or books, you know, that's a great way to start. And the sport blokes too, they'll answer your questions about how they use socials, how they do this, how do they do that. Now, none of us are Joe Rogan, but maybe you could be with the acorn that could grow. And if you're a fan of the Wildcats, you know, who knows? Right. Maybe the guys will jump in the presser if they can kind of work that out afterwards via Zoom. I don't know. We're going to work it out.
Yeah.
So anything's possible. $30, I think.
$30. Yep. Just go to mblpocketpodcast.com/live. And then that will bounce you off to a tri-booking site. Enter your credit card details. You'll get a ticket issued straight away.
Amazing.
And literally, tickets will sell. Like, I have not allowed any of my mates to buy a ticket yet. Because I've been like, no. I want people who, you know, I don't necessarily know to come along. Mm. So, you know, tickets, we can get rid of them. So, but you better get one.
Mm. And $30 is cost recovery. We're not
I'm not making
money. We're not getting rich off the back of this. This is not our retirement fund, okay? No. There's no Mercedes Benzes out back or pairs of alligator shoes.
That's right. And yeah, like I said, bring your credit card. You can buy a drink at the front of the bar. It's licensed, so buy a drink, take it in, watch the game. It'll be fun.
Yeah, it will be fun. I agree. Let's jump on from that. People know. Let's talk about underrated, overrated. We about a week ago, we tapped each other on the shoulder and said, let's do this. Let's do some rankings. We're coming towards the end of the year, awards season. Do you want to do the top five underrated players or the top five overrated players?
Let's do overrated first.
Let's start. Let's dump and we'll pump later. Let's dump. You want to go first? Give me, in no particular order or whatever way you want to do it, your top five overrated players.
Okay. It's in the order in which they came into my head rather than an actual ranking order. So I will start. Number one, Keanu Pinder.
Oh, we're doing overrated.
Yeah.
Keanu Pinder, overrated.
That's right.
You think that the praise on him is not much. Indicative? Oh wow,
it's too much. It's too much.
You don't have to explain yourself.
I'm gonna have to explain myself. Okay. Yeah,
overrated. Keanu Pinder. This guy's MVP candidate. He's missed a couple of games. He's probably out of the running now, but certainly most improved. What are you talking about?
Well, there you go. He's a very improved player, right? He is a really good player. He's just been injured and his team has continued to win. Now, I'm not saying that he's not an important player in the roster. He absolutely is. He's vital to that team. But, gee, the smoke around it, you know, MVP candidate. Like, no, he's not. He's not an MVP. When you've got Bryce Cotton running around, you know, you've got other guys who are putting up similar numbers to him. You've got people like Milton Doyle. You know, you can make the argument that he's just as good as Keanu Pinder, but because Pinder is the new pin-up Australian, he's getting all this pump up.
Pinder or pin-up? Pin down. You've got him on the canvas right now. So, I don't hate your argument, by the way.
Look, this is the point. I am not saying he's a bad player. I'm not saying he's a bad dude. We're I like him. Hype. I really enjoy watching him. But is he correctly rated? No, he's overrated.
Whew. Kenyon with a gut punch. First one out. Wow. That's the first one that came to your mind. Anyway, if you're done, I'll go tell you the first one that came.
Yep, you go ahead. Dan.
You know who's coming. Isaac Humphries.
Oh, okay. I was thinking somebody else. Okay.
Yeah, no, I'll get to him, I'm sure. Isaac Humphries has gotten hurt, and they're starting to win now, and consistently, and big, and on their terms. I don't know where Humphries – I never liked him coming into the year. He had 7 good games in Adelaide and got hurt and missed 20 games. And Melbourne got in distress, and he had starters minutes. He had a soft landing, had a spiritual boost midway through the
– Yep.
Play didn't improve. And now Marcus Lees comes in, big minutes in his absence. He's hurt again, and they're playing great. I don't know what the career trajectory is for him. I would forecast bad, but people thought he was going to be – I thought he was going to be at least be a strong rotation player. I'm not sure he's that kind of player.
Yeah, that's a really good – because he was pumped up as a key signing, potential MVP, all that kind of stuff. You're right. Yeah,
he was NBL second team. We're flirting with it. Not even close.
Yep. They should get him while he's injured. He should be singing the national anthem.
You know what? There, he's very underrated. Yeah. Amazing singer. You know what's funny is if someone said, We've got a Melbourne United ticket to see him play or to see him sing. I'm going to Royal Albert Hall or whatever it is in Melbourne.
I'm happy to watch Lee play instead.
Yeah, exactly. I'll be watching Isaac Humphries, just like, wow, he's a songbird, and then just checking the scores on my mobile phone. Give me your next overrated.
Okay, my next one, Ryan Brokhoff.
Not on my list, but probably should be. Only I haven't got him on my list because he's been hurt. Make your case.
So this is a guy that is constantly pumped up by the Melbourne media as, you know, such a threat, you can't leave him open for a minute. He's does it all. He gets on the glass, rebounds the ball. So vital. Yeah, so vital. So injured. So relatively unimpactful, if you actually.
You don't remember his start to the year? Maybe I'm doing what I didn't do for Humphries for Brokhoff, because I remember at the start of the year when they were really good, he was really good. And injury, yes, but injury to me is, at this point with him, I'm thinking, is it misfortune or is this part of the DNA going forward? But I thought when he was playing well, he was good.
I just think he's a solid rotation guy, but God, they're really talking about the gravity that he creates.
I think there was sort of list of the NBL's greatest shooters ever, and he was kind of float him on that list. Actually, I get the argument behind that, to be honest, but
like, it's a nice shot when it goes through. Like, it's one of those shots that looks, it's a bit like Golding's three pointers yeah, always feel more like a four pointer, just with the finesse and the way he shoots it. It's kind of got a cockiness to it. Ryan Brokhoff's is the same in that it's such a pretty shot, high arcing. If it goes in, it often swishes beautifully, and it's like, ooh, that's an impactful three.
But he's got a beautiful stroke. Side note, that kid McDonald in Tasmania, he's got the best shot in the NBL.
Sean McDonald.
Beautiful. Yeah.
He's a good player.
Yeah, he is, yeah. Sorry to interrupt.
That's all right. So that's it. Ryan Brokhoff, number two.
I'm going to throw in a name here. My second one was Mago Mathiang at the Hawks. I don't know. This guy's
overrated.
Overrated. This guy had a bit of hype. Maybe it's just from Homicide. But I don't – man, I just don't get his game, eh? Terribly injury pro that they are in games all the time, and then in the last 5 minutes, the last 3 minutes, they throw all these games away.
Yeah,
they've got a record of 2-15 or whatever it is, and they've lost by about 5 points or less in their last five or six games. They just have no composure, and I think he's a part of it.
He's got flippers for hands,
man, and fouls, and it's just peculiar. Not my player, and he had a bit of a heat coming in, so he's on my list.
Okay, next on mine. Aaron Baines.
Tick for me.
Do we even need to say anything?
Well, the asterisk, is the injury. But
Asterisk.
So the injury is there. I think the body's not even close to right. We're going to talk about him. Actually, we'll bring it up now. Did you see the comments from his agent, Daniel Moldovan?
I did not.
So the Bullets went out and brought in this consultant who's coming in to liaison with the team, who works with one of the owners. This is so dire.
Bob.
It's like, Mr. Black, what is going on? Anyway, he's coming and said, oh, this guy's really good. He's got NBA experience. He can really help Aaron Baines get back to the NBA. And Moldovan's comments and reply were like, this guy's got, in Baines, has got an NBA championship and 600 games of NBA experience. Like, wow, thanks. Appreciate your help. It's pretty catty. I really admire Lighthouse Sports, what was Lighthouse Sports, Moldovan. Like, they've got a lot of clients and they're doing really well for themselves and their clients. But this I didn't like. But you've just heard it now. What do you think of that, him saying something like that?
I like it. Yeah, anytime an organization is bringing in consultants is generally a bad sign. And I have to riff on Office Space at this point, one of my favorite movies of all time. So I could just picture consultant Bob and Bob walking in and sitting down with Aaron. Now, Aaron, can you tell me what exactly is it you do around here?
Yeah, it's very Aaron, true.
I rebound the ball and I shoot bad threes. Okay, and that's going to get you back to the NBA?
I'm going to have to get you to get in the paint at least once a game. Okay,
yeah.
Thanks a bunch, Aaron. Yeah, I The one thing I didn't like about it was, first of all, Aaron Baines in the NBA. Oof, that's wishful thinking.
Yep.
Secondly, it's like, how about we just try and put something coherent and nice on the floor in Brisbane? I do feel bad for Brisbane. I think Aaron Baines, he's not healthy. There's been a false bill of goods sold here. Like, oh, he's good to go. He took a little chip to the shoulder in the game against Melbourne,
mm-hmm.
and he was hurt. He was rattled. And this is a big guy. You can tell he's not all there. And they're paying him marquee money, or at least giving him marquee treatment, and he's not there. So if he wanted to rehab, he should have come back here and not played and trained with the team or whatever. But you got to pay the cost to be the boss. If you're going to take the money, you got to take the criticism. So the idea of – but that did leave – I did like the comments in general, but the idea that, oh, we're here to get back to the NBA, it's like, how about you just play for Brisbane and that's your focus first and foremost? Keep that other stuff kind of private. I thought that was a little bit crass. To be reaching for the stars. But yeah, Aaron Baines, we don't need to talk about it. I mean, of all the sort of NBA comebackers from Delhi, Bogut, that's it really.
Yeah.
He's been the least successful.
He's been the worst.
By a long way. Next guy on the list. Oh, it's me. I'm going to throw in a name here. Robert Franks.
Overrated. Okay.
Overrated. I just don't see his points as impactful. Yeah, he can fill it up. He's got a bill as a really good player, and he may even flirt with NBL second team because he's stats, but his points to me are you never finish a game, right? If you finish watching Cotton play, you're like, okay, that guy, I just remember him having fingerprints all over the game.
Mm.
Franks, I don't have that same feeling. The stats all line up and you're like, yeah, but I feel they're kind of empty carbs with him. I don't see the impact. And that game against Perth in Perth where they got smoked was an example for me where I was like, I know the ceiling on a Robert Franks team if he's in your top 2-3 players.
Yeah.
Harsh. I do quite like him, but I got to say it.
It is harsh, but I see your point. Because in the game before, I think he got 20 and 10. He's putting up numbers, but point taken. All right. Next on my list, Nathan Sobey.
Oh, overrated.
Yeah. I mean, look at where the Brisbane stand. He's promoted as a key boomer, get to the rim scorer. But he's been so injured this year, just hasn't produced.
I'm going to say this, and I hope he doesn't mind being named and affiliated with us in the program, but Dan Ewing, of all the comments that have been made about the NBL, this is the most insightful comment I have heard about the league, and I'm not blowing smoke up Dan Ewing's, but he said to me, injuries are just, they kill a team in the NBL. They kill a team because you just have so little roster movability. And I'm filling in the blanks here for Dan, but your starters are your starters and you know it. Your bench is your bench. And then if you kind of have to tinker and move someone from the injured list to a rotation player and a rotation player in the starting lineup, the holes are just become very deep and very wide. And this Brisbane team, the way it was built, it was just a nightmare from the beginning. I could see it all coming. The injuries, they didn't get any protection for their injuries, and it's crushed a team. Injuries, my friend, and Sobey and Baines and that team are feeling it. But as far as overrated goes, I think you'd be hard-pressed to fight you on Sobey this season anyway.
Who's your fourth?
Travers.
Yeah, good. I like
it. He's actually my fifth because I've got Humphreys, Mathieu, Baines, Franks.
Okay.
Travers, we've doubled up. I just, same thing. Maybe it's just the lousy dunks that are really bothering me because they're so lousy. And I hate dunks. To take money from prostate cancer research, very serious cause, but when he dunks, it should be money off the telly. They're just so lame, man. And he's so athletic. It bugs me.
Yep.
And that's, but more to the point, his game, I think he's forced to do a bit much there. As they've gotten better and winning more, it feels like his impact is less. Do you find that?
Yeah, I do. He's less of a utility guy now. He sort of seems to be stuck on a wing. I mean, he's hitting the three better than he ever has at this point.
Yeah.
But it's taken away his sort of the intangibles that he used to add on.
And I hate to rag on him because you forget how young that guy is. He's like 21 or 20 maybe. He is young as hell.
Yep.
So
he's got the pimples to prove it.
I'll light a bit of a fire under the kid. Maybe a little bit higher up the back where that hair starts. That's got to go.
Yep.
Cut that hair. New hair, new man. That's what I say. But
I like
who
that.
You got? Who you got?
Okay, my last one is Mitch McCarron.
Oh, I've seen this floating around Twitter. People are like, McCarron.
Oh, really? Okay. See,
yeah,
I
a little
know
bit. A little bit, yeah. No one's been No one's been tooting it on Mastodons?
No, not really.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Such a high traffic website.
Mitch McCarron, he's just like, he's pumped up again as this, you know, money making Mitch McCarron. Hmm. I don't know who he's making money for. Ooh. But he is just, he's just invisible on the court too often. And sometimes you'll have a couple of like showy passes that are like, oh, that was nice. But overall, just not doing a lot, not scoring the ball enough, really not providing leadership. He's just passive. So overrated for him.
You say passive. I'm going to use a word here. I say deterred and despondent. I saw him in that Perth game and you get beat up by that. You drop your head. But I think he's feeling a little bit lost in the lack of defense. I think he's kind of like, here we go. Get down on the chair. I'm going to play defense. And that's where he's impactful in a game. And that's where he was so good at Melbourne. And then he's come to Adelaide where it's like, I'm in the chair. All right, pick and roll. Are you going under? Are you going over? Oh, we're just going to let the guy walk by and score. Okay. And I see him as deflated. I actually like Mitch McCarron a lot. And I don't disagree with you. His play has been substandard for his thing. But I saw him, and I just think his team is so bad at defense. And just so, I hate to use this word, but D-U-M-B. Letting Manek just catch it and shoot it.
Oh, no.
Like, jump his shoulder. Make him dribble. And it just repeatedly as well. And they just do such bad stuff. So I think he's sort of lost in, it's not a team for him. This has not been his style of play. So I like your idea, but I can rationalize it.
It's interesting, actually, that Brady Manek, the two games that he's had really good games have both been against Adelaide.
Yeah, it's no surprise to me. Yep. None at all. Franks and Johnson just num, 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 num. Just feast on that, D. Dreadful. Let's go to the other side of the coin. We've dumped. Okay. Because we do this on this show. We dump. Let's pump. Pump some tires. Oh, underrated. Who's doing it, getting it done and not getting enough love?
All right, you start off.
Anthony Drimmick. I know I just ragged on Adelaide, but I really like, in the games that they win, Drimmick plays well. And when he's a little bit less of a factor, they seem to lose. And I've liked his play. I thought, and the other thing as well, I thought he was done at Brisbane. I thought his career was over, and he stepped it up. So I'm going to say Anthony Drimmick. Not my number one, but a guy that came to mind.
And he's got a bit of mongrel in him, and it's good to have that. You need a guy like that in the team.
They need more of it for sure.
Yeah. Okay. I like it. My first one, Sean Bruce.
Go on.
Like, nobody likes Sean Bruce, right? We all hate him. He comes on, I'm like, oh, Sean Bruce, jeez, I'm wasting my time watching him play. But every time he comes on, good things happen. He does good things. Like, he rarely makes mistakes. He pisses off the opposition players. Like, he's actually really good at his job.
Yep. Good answer. Okay. I'm going to jump onto this one. And I don't think this is so much about this guy's play, or this is about that gap across the ditch. Pardon. I feel like this guy is, who is he? Nobody had this guy as anything on their preseason predictions. And he's a stud. He's an MVP candidate. You'd agree? Top five?
I wouldn't say he's in the running, but he's right up there.
Yeah, he's up there. He will be in an NBL, all NBL team.
Yep. He's strong.
He is so strong and just stats well and is impactful. And I'm a huge fan. And no one had this sort of prediction for him at the start of the season. So he's one of my underrated guys.
Nice. My next, the guy you mentioned earlier, Sean McDonald from Tassie.
Yeah, DP was nothing.
DP just, has he missed a shot yet this season?
Probably not.
He is an amazing shooter. Huge level of confidence. He just puts the command he has on court is impressive for somebody who's a DP and his age. So he is underrated.
Underrated, here's a name. Gary Brown of Southeast Melbourne. Let me make the case.
Okay.
I've been hurt a lot, which we hate.
Yep.
Especially from an import. It's like, you're a gun for hire. You got to, if you're not at the shootout at the OK Corral, we're down a gun. But I will say, I have to bring this up, 10-4 with him, 2-7 without him.
Oof, proof's in that pudding.
And we were talking about at the start of the year where it's just, when he's there, everything locks into place. When he's not, they look dreadful. And they're in real sort of troublesome top six stuff with his injury and others as well. So for me, Gary Brown, not so much on what I'm giving this underrated tag, not so much on what we have seen, but on what we haven't. No, the other way. Who's your pick?
My next one, I don't know if this is really a good one, but I'm saying Jack McVay.
Yeah, okay. He had a pretty good year last year, but yeah.
He's just like, I don't know if people still really consider him a really solid Australian player now. Like, he has got to be in the top echelon of Australian players.
Well, let's actually do that. Sorry to interrupt you, but the top local players. I mean, Sobey, I still see value, but so who are the best locals? Mitch McCarron, maybe, but let's just throw him out there. So McCarron's a name.
Yeah.
Pinder's a name. Cooks is the best. Cooks, Creek. Yeah. Cooks and Creek are at the top. McCarron's around the mark. Like Vasiljevic, Golding.
Yep.
McVay himself. Like, who else are we? Who's over in Perth? Travers.
Yeah.
Like, I'd probably take McVay over him. And then
yeah,
okay. DJ's fallen off. Brisbane, none of them are bothering. Illawarra, not really. I'm not. Sammy Frolling is their best local.
Yeah.
You know, so when you really stack up, you're like, holy shit, is this guy one of the top? He's definitely one of the top 10 but NBL locals.
Yeah, I don't feel like he gets talked about in that in that way.
Like, so, Vasiljevic gets more rap, and it's kind of like, ooh, I actually quite like McVay on the way they've played. Yeah, good call, man. That's a good one.
Okay, there we go. I like that a lot.
I'm going to go with the name here, Marcus Lee. We thought this guy was just going to – was a swap with who was their other import? Jordan Caroline. Just a straight swap, white flag on the season. I really like him.
Yeah.
They lost their first four games with him on the roster where he was still backing up the love affair between Barlow and Vickerman. That unrivaled the next episode, just how they are, that is a under the table handshake agreement. Lost their first four with him on the roster, and now they've gone 7-2 with him. And when he's been impactful and playing big minutes, guy's good. Guy's good. And if they had him all year, Melbourne would be better.
Yeah, he seems really low maintenance as well, doesn't he? Just
And he's coming in a bad situation where no one's backing him up. He had to bite his time against Humphreys. Yeah, he ate some SHIT coming to that team, and he's playing good. Marcus Lee, tip of the cap.
Marcus Lee, there we go.
Anyone else? Or?
That's probably. I've got a couple other names, but I'm really not committed
to them. Just list them. Don't give the thing. Just list them.
I had Brown from New Zealand.
Big scorer. Yep. Barry.
Yep. Barry Brown. Yeah, I forgot his first name there for a moment. And then I had Sam Frolling.
Yeah, good stat, man. Losing team, but yeah. The other name I had was Tyler Harvey. We ragged on him early. I've actually seen through the cracks now that team is dreadful. I don't like the roster around him at all. No point guard help whatsoever.
Well, they tried, but they keep getting hurt.
He's just the way he's playing, and to not drop your head. He's become one of my favorite players in the NBL again because the team's so bad. And he doesn't quit, man. He has bad shooting games. He'll go 2 of 15 and he'll come right back. Can you imagine him next to Cotton or something like that? I'm a fan. Yeah. I'm turned around. I feel bad sort of questioning. I think he's a good player.
There we go. That's the list. Is that the list?
That is top. That's top five under and overrated. But let's do top three imports. And this was more like new imports.
Yeah, I went new imports.
Same. Who you got on the list?
Okay, so first of all, this is a very listicle kind of based episode tonight. People don't mind. First I've got is Lee, Marcus Lee from Melbourne.
Wow,
just straight out, came out, expected nothing from him, and he's delivered a lot. So
and winning, like they're knocking on the door of the top six. They're a real chance.
That team has turned around since he has arrived.
I concur. I think that's a fine point. And it's not just they've turned around and he's been sitting on the bench. They've turned around with him on the floor doing stuff.
Okay. Yep.
Walton at Kings. I think he's a star. I think he's fantastic.
I still feel like he's not doing as much as he could as well. Like, still feels like he's playing within himself.
They're smoking teams. He's statting well and being impactful, and most of the time they've got their feet up.
Yeah.
So I really like his game. I love his handle. He can control the game so well. I think he's one of the top three new imports for sure.
Nice. My next one was Derek Pardon for all the reasons you mentioned earlier.
Yep, good answer.
Really like having him in the league.
That's it. I really struggled here. I've got four names on my list, but
oh, okay.
Walton. I've also got Doyle, Tucker, and DJ Hoge. Could even be in the underrated category.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, that guy just scores, and he played well today. He's automatic. But I'm actually going to put Tucker on my list. Rajon Tucker. Yeah.
Hey.
Maybe I'm looking more at the talent than what's been on paper, but I think that guy's amazing. I don't think there's anyone who can stop him when he's kind of engaged offensively. I think he's so strong. He can attack the hoop. He's got a good shot on him. I think he's good.
Well, he said himself he was going to be the best player in the league. So
it hasn't eventuated, but I see why he might say something like that. And the other one is Doyle. I think Doyle's fantastic. I put him above even Pardon. I think Doyle can, he finishes games. Huge fan. Yeah. So that's my kind of penciled list.
Doyle was my third. So, yeah.
There you go. You did have him. Oh, good.
Yep, yep.
Bottom three. I've only got two, so we're going to have to help me out here. But
okay.
I'll give mine first. I'm still going to put Brady Manek in this category.
Okay.
He just doesn't play D. And, yes, they smoked Adelaide. And, yes, he's had some high-scoring games. But I can just forecast the future. And even just what we've seen in the past, where he had a stretch of about 12 games where he was – they really persisted with him. You got to hand it to really, really has persisted with him, and he's hit some scoring. But I still see the cracks in his games that I don't like. So for me, he's in there.
I've got him in my third position, equal third. Third.
It's not the first name I come to, but he's in there.
I had him in there. I had him equivalent with Peyton Seaver.
Yes, it got hurt.
So it's a bit unfair. Yeah. But even when he was here, it didn't do a whole lot.
There's a name I'm sure you're going to bring up, and I want to talk about him.
Okay. Is it Trey Kell?
Trey Kell. Hurt. I know I've at points in this conversation we've made excuses for guys who were hurt and then we've dumped on guys who've been hurt. But Kell, even when he's played,
not impactful. Like at this point, and look, friend of the show, Nick Tan, he and I would both prefer Tuna Mornay to Trey Kell at this point.
Ouch. A frozen one too. Trey Kell and their pick and roll defense, even with him in it, is not. That was kind of the promise of him, that they were finally going to start doing something there.
Yep.
Hasn't really. And then the offense is not quite there. I just don't get him as a player. So he's on my list.
Yep. On mine too.
Have you got a third? I could put dot, 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 but I could come up with a name, but I want to hear who you
got. I have got the worst. Like, so this is the top of my list, bottom worst import in the league. Andrew White III.
Oh, but that's – yes, that's, I can't fight you on that. I cannot fight you, but that's Brisbane – that's
he's
a body
terrible.
Shot.
Yeah, he's dreadful. They sacked a guy to get him.
Yeah, he's dreadful.
He's terrible.
I can't complain. Andrew, can we take a quick break there? I'm just going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to keep recording, though. I won't be
I'll
long.
I'll allow
Sorry.
it. Run. So what do I do while I'm sitting here by myself? Look at some stats. I've just loaded up Spatial Jam. Andrew Price, I think, does this. Does a good work, good job at that. Spatialjam.com. If you haven't looked at it, check it out. It's got nice tables of data. Put through Tableau. That's how you pronounce it. Statistical package. And it puts it to good use. You can sort, filter. Whole bunch of different statistical categories you can look at. I'm curious, whose stats should I look at? Who are you talking about? Sean McDonald. Percentage 40%. Okay, so he has missed a few. 45% for twos. 6.7 points per game. Feels like he's scoring more than that. Okay, but he's still better than Todd Blanchfield at 5.2 points per game. But Todd Blanchfield, the best thing that's happened to him, sitting on the bench. Plot the performance of the Perth Wildcats with the bench time of Todd Blanchfield, and I'm sure there will be a positive correlation. Tyler Harvey. See, I feel like he's shooting the ball really poorly. He's at 37.7 3-point range. 18 points a game. He's actually done pretty well. As we hear Joe take care of business, you heard the flash in the background. Bryce Cotton ruining that low shooting game he had the other night. He's now second in points per game behind Mitch Creek. by 0.1 of a point. And while we're talking NBL stats, when you go to the NBL website and you see consistently the leader of the statistical categories for assists being, what's his name? The guy from Illawarra who got injured one game in. That annoys me so much. Seriously, just eliminate him. He shouldn't win. He shouldn't be eligible. So get him out of that stat line. It's really annoying to see his profile head every single time.
I've returned.
He's back. I've been doing a statistical analysis, a breakdown. Nice. Man,
I'll put some music under that. We'll keep it. That'll be good. Listen, I won't terrify you with the details, but that was unpleasant. All right, let's jump back into this. We've done bottom imports, top imports, done all that stuff. Let's look at the race for the top six. We were talking about this, and this is tight and really exciting. And I'm begging of the NBL, if anyone there is listening, this is a great storyline. Do something around it and do something visual. I want to see a table that kind of jumps up and moves, and I want a graphic.
Joe, they can't get their static ladder correct. Listen, now you want them to animate it?
I want them to move. I can see Pete Hawley in front of that screen, and he's grabbing a team, and he's moving them up, and he's moving them down. I don't know what it is. I don't know how you do it, but I imagine I want them to sit around a room, close their eyes and think, okay, how do we best represent the craziness that's going to go on in these next or last four or five games? How do we represent that visually? How do we tell this story? And don't get too wordy and don't give every machination of what could happen. You have to somehow fill it down. I'd love to sit and do the time. It doesn't pay enough. I'm not going to bother. It's not my job. But I think that's important and think about the real casual fan and how you tell this story really, really well. I think they're capable. I give them credit, and I'm just not even giving the fire, not even giving the inspiration, just slide this little pat on the back, a hand on the lower back, and lads, do your thing. That's what I'm saying.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, I haven't calculated. I've got the records and schedules of Adelaide, South East Melbourne, Perth, and Melbourne.
Wow.
I haven't got Tasmania's because I think they're going to make it. I don't know why I say that. So I haven't bothered to kind of tabulate what's going on with them. Am I wrong in doing that, you think?
Yeah, statistically you're wrong, but I think the way they play, they know who they are. I think they're going to be fine.
I just think there's no way they're dropping below Adelaide.
No.
And Melbourne and Southeast Melbourne. I just don't know. Perth could nip them, but that's about it. Let's look at this.
All right.
So Adelaide, let's start with Adelaide. They're 11 and 12. That huge loss to Perth has dropped them below 500. Canyon, I'm going to go through their remaining schedule. You tell me, you just say win or loss. You don't need to give any rationale if you don't want to.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
At Brisbane.
Win.
Melbourne at home.
Loss.
Nice. At Cairns.
Loss. I can hear the pen. Okay.
Keyboard. Sydney at home.
Loss.
At Melbourne.
Loss.
Wow. You're saying the Adelaide 36ers go 1-4 the rest of the way, which will give them a thing of 12 and 16.
It's not enough.
Not making it. Andrew, can you just give me win or loss? This is the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. They are 12 and 11, and I don't know what place they sit on the ladder, but it doesn't kind of matter. Mm-hmm. Brisbane at home.
Loss. I mean, a win. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. I'd already had it written. At Tasmania. Now, loss. I can't comment as to how, if Brown is back, if Creek's healthy.
No,
I'm
staying a loss. I'm saying Tasmania will win that game.
So would I. So that's good. Perth at home.
Gee, they've won there already, but Perth are different now. I'm going to say
Southeast Melbourne, in Melbourne. Perth,
oh,
in Melbourne.
Sorry, in Perth, in I'm still going to say a loss.
So would I. Don't feel bad.
Okay.
Cairns at home, as in Cairns in Melbourne.
Jeez.
They're not going to go 3 on the trot, are they? Losing.
Loss. Loss.
Wow, you are okay. At Sydney.
Oh, jeez.
You tell me they're going to go 4
and it's another loss. It's another loss.
And then at Brisbane, obviously a win.
Yep.
That would mean that the rest of the way you think and we think, I don't hate what you've said, Southeast Melbourne are going to go 2-4, which would put them at 14-15, a losing record. Doesn't look good. Wow. Don't hate it. I don't hate it from you. Perth are not going to lose. Perth really has culled that rotation.
Yep.
Mitch Norton played trash time minutes in a 40-point win.
He got the last 13 seconds of each quarter.
Brutal. Let's jump on. Perth, who are now with a record of 12-10, they play Sydney at RAC Arena.
Loss.
Oh, wow. I'm not so sure about that. But okay, keep going. At Southeast Melbourne.
We gave that a win, yep.
Illawarra at home. Oh, sorry, Illawarra.
I don't care where it is. It's a win.
At Tasmania, the one that we're selling tickets to.
Oh, man. I'm going to say Tassie get it.
That's a loss. Cairns at home.
Win to
after
Perth.
A loss. I agree. After a loss, they're winning that. And then Sydney at home. The lack of travel, Sydney are coming over.
Yeah,
I think they're splitting them with.
Yeah. I think they'll win that.
I think they're splitting them with Sydney, so it's kind of
difficult. So I'll say win that one because Sydney won't care.
Gotcha. So you're saying, and we're saying, that Perth will go 4-2 the rest of the way, giving them a 16-12 record.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah, that's wow. Okay. And then lastly is Melbourne, who sit 12-12. At Adelaide?
Win.
We've already got a book as a win. At New Zealand? Fist is the big one for them.
Whew. New Zealand not looking so good, but I'll say New Zealand.
That's awesome. I will say New Zealand have got that. New Zealand are making it. They've got a really easy run. I think they played Brisbane twice, Illawarra twice, no matter what. So maybe they kind of sit this one out a bit.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go with the loss anyway, though. And then Adelaide at home in Melbourne.
I think I'd already booked that as a win to Melbourne.
You've already booked that as a win. Outside. So you're saying that Melbourne are going to go 2-1 the rest of the way, giving them a 14-13 record? Is that right?
15-13. For 2-1.
15-13, which means that you've got SEM and Adelaide dropping out. So your final six would be Sydney, Tassie, and not in any order, but Sydney, Cairns, New Zealand, Tasmania, Perth, and Melbourne.
Melbourne actually getting in.
And also, might add, if your calculations are correct, making that over that we said at the start of the season. They were 14 wins, I think. I don't hate what you've said with Melbourne.
Yeah.
Lose New Zealand as well.
God.
I mean, we are banking on Southeast Melbourne losing 4 in a row.
But if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be them, right?
Oh, totally them. And with their injuries and broke off, like, oh, he's back in 2 weeks. Oh, he's not. But for me, it's Brown.
Yeah, it's just the history of their franchise. Like every year, it's like, hey, we're going to be great. And then, we're not so great.
We've fought the final hurdle. Yep. So based on that, they're making it. So you would think that Mitchell's in a bit of trouble. He'd be feeling it. I like Simon Mitchell, but he must be signed for a one-year deal. Come on.
Yeah, if he doesn't get it done this year.
That's going to be a tough explanation. And then Adelaide, is CJ kind of – he's only had 2 years. But would you be looking at him going
They'll keep him. They'll keep him.
I don't know. Grant Kelly spent a bit of money. The way he was sitting behind the bench when they played at their home game. No, he was there in Perth. No.
Was he?
I think he was behind the bench for both games, you know. Okay. But just whatever game it was, even if it was both or just one, he was behind that bench. He was sniffing out how every dollar is being spent and how every player is playing. I think 2 years is enough for Grant Kelly. I mean, look at the coaching changes they've done. Connor Henry had a year.
True.
They paid out. They were only too happy to get rid of Joey Wright, paid him out. I think Siege would be he's very charismatic. True. He'd probably talk his way out of it. But
You're right. They have spent a lot of money on this team.
Seriously, I don't think they've actually spent as much as people say, Bogut and so on and so forth. But in comparison to just the style of that franchise in the past, this is they've pushed a bit in. I think he wants the distraction from the legal troubles we talked about the other week. So maybe this is his palliative. So that's it. There you go, folks. We'll throw it out to Twitter or if you're on Mastodon, don't be afraid to Schwazzle or whatever. who you think is going to make it, and more importantly, who you think is not going to make it. I'm very confident standing here, if a terrorist budged in the room and said, who's not making it out of Adelaide, South East Melbourne, Perth and Melbourne, I'd be very happy saying Adelaide for sure. I say them, they're missing with the most confidence. That effort against Perth was so shit.
That was woeful.
And it was. I was like, okay, cool, big game. It's going to be an outdoor game. Shooting will be bad. And they still let Perth shoot the lights out. Dreadful.
Yep.
So I agree with you, Canyon. I totally agree.
Wow. I don't hear that very often in my life. So I'm just going to get a little recording of that. That'll be my ringtone.
What time are we looking at here? 44. Let's just talk about Moody Mayor for a second.
Is it Moody or Modi? Or is it Moody Modi? Moody Modi Mayor.
Moody Modi.
He was Moody in this press conference.
He was Moody in this press. For people that didn't see it, can you just go?
We were saying before we started the recording of the actual show, we like the way he speaks. He has an intelligence to the way he speaks, I think, a calmness generally. But this time he decided to lob a gentle grenade into the press conference, talking about how other coaches tend to make comments about the refereeing and the way the New Zealand play the game, the physicality they play with. And those comments tend to subconsciously influence future games and the way they're refereed. And he spoke about Pardon not getting many calls, and he said he doesn't like commenting on referees. He wasn't intending to do it, but he felt compelled. Yeah,
Modi. That's like when someone goes, "Listen, I'm not a racist."
Yeah,
but you can't say, "Listen, I didn't want to. I really didn't want to, but I'm about to, and enjoy it while doing it." Because he had a smile on his face. I'm like, "Nah, Modi, not buying it, pal." No, I'll quote his own words back at him. Everything's for a reason. What was it? Everything's on purpose, or
yes, there's
a
So Modi,
nah, get in touch with me. Not gonna happen, pal. Not buying it.
But I love it. I love it, and I appreciate it. And my question to you, well, first of all, I'll preface it by saying I think he was. No, actually, I won't preface it. I'm just going to ask you: do you think he was? Do you think he's right?
Categorically, yes, 100%. The way they've played the game this season has been no different to certainly Melbourne of last season. Perth of their championship run. Yep. I mean, Damien Martin just had a license to play outside the rules. So in the scheme of how this league, and this league does sort of puff its chest about physicality.
Mm-hmm.
And then but also there has been a sudden swing away from them. Now, what's most important, I thought you were going to ask me my question. Well, the question I was going to ask you, who was Modi talking about?
In terms of
he said, yeah, he was talking about coaches weaponizing the press conference. He was talking about one in particular.
There's two that sort of I think of that he would be referring to. The one is probably talking about Dickerman.
No, I or just – he's talking about Chet, man.
Or is it Chet?
Talking about Chase.
That was my other one. Chet was my other one.
Chase, I think, had the quote.
I keep calling him Chet. I don't know why. I'm sorry. It's Chase Buford.
I call him Chet. Chase Buford, Kings. Kings came out after that game and said it was like playing the All Blacks.
Yeah, rugby. That's right. Yep.
And since then, it's been a swing against them. He didn't mention it by name, Modi, but that's who he's talking about.
Yeah.
I can't disagree with him. And it came back even in this game a little bit, hurt him. Oh, bit of a sidetrack, but did you watch Breakers Cairns?
I was unable to today.
That's okay. There was the most dreadful UCF. And listen, they happen all the time, but
USF for me.
USF, pardon me. Unsportsmanlike foul, pardon me. Close game, 20 seconds left, 2-point game. Liafa fouls, I want to say, Shannon Scott. And it's just like, oh, don't call an unsportsmanlike foul. And of course they did it. Right. I hated it for two reasons. One, close game, and it's like, we know how basketball works. He's fouling to stop the clock. Unsportsmanlike foul, there needs to be a brutality and a trickery to it. There wasn't that. There wasn't a malice to it. Or you know, to cheat the game or anything like that. He was just trying to stop the clock. It's a basketball play. We've spoken about that 1,000 times. Yep. What I hated about it even more, hated, and I really like Adam Ford. I really like his team.
Mm-hmm.
But – he's a bit of a pisser and moaner. Sorry, Adam, Mr. Ford, but he will complain about refs and da da da. And oh, that was a bad call. But to then when that happens, you and the whole of your bench stand up. You, oh, unsportsmanlike, like a band of pleading, bleating sheep. Yep. I hated it. Yep. I was like, if you want good calls, don't then put pressure on these refs to make that call in your favor when you know you wouldn't want to see it in return. I thought it was. I just didn't think it didn't show good character of a team that typically does. And I thought when you put that pressure on refs, and I knew straight away. I said, nah, they're going to fold under that pressure because whatever. And they did. And if it had happened the other way, Adam Ford would be in the press conference saying the same thing. Oh, we want protection for Pinder. Oh, that UCF, that unsportsmanlike is bad. I hated to see it. So that was my rant over.
Well said. I have nothing more to add. That was brilliantly put.
Oh, thanks. So, yeah, that was it. But I've kind of forgotten what we're talking about. Before we went on the rant.
It was just Modi Bayor. And Modi, I think you're right. I think I agree with Modi. I think what he has said is correct. I think there is too much subconscious effect that gets played on the referees. And I just want to see, I think you have to just say referee talk is out of bounds.
I cannot agree with Canyon. You're speaking my language. It's actually getting pathetic for me. I'm trying to find a word for I don't want to use unmanly. I don't want to genderfy it. It's lacking character. It's pathetic. It's weaselly. Just stop this stuff because, first of all, the refs are not making bank. I'm like, oh, you want to get really good refs? Like, some of these players are on close to $1 million. You pay for it. Yeah. You know what I mean? These guys they're not making big bank. I hate it. It's pissing me off. Yep. I can see the complaints, but it's starting to really bug me. Yeah, the question is with New Zealand, is it going to be an issue going forward? Their style is so Brantley particular. When he's going at the hoop, it's all about trying to get to the foul line. He initiates contact so much. I worry about them in a final setting when the ref kind of does feel that pressure. But I will also say about the presses, I don't think they have to sort of combat Modi a bit. They're basically an internal memo. They don't have a huge reach across the country or whatever. So they are an internal memo. He seemed to think they make a difference.
Now, Joe,
NBL
Pocket Podcast has a Discord.
It does indeed.
People, if you don't know what a Discord server is, it's a place where you can go and chat with other fellow basketball nerds.
Young singles podcasts in your area.
Swipe right if you like the Wildcats. Mm-hmm. The address details are on the show notes of each episode. You just click it. If you're on a mobile device, you can install the Discord app. It's pretty good. If you're on a computer, there's Discord app for that too. It's quite a good little community. Hmm. So join in there. And basically, coming out of that, we had a question.
Oh no!
So I am going. I don't think you've seen this question, so I'm going to ask it of you. Okay. So this
who's it from?
I think this one was actually – there was a conversation going on around a few players. I think the question was actually suggested to be asked by Nick Tan, But it was a few people talking about it. So So here's the question for you. Mm-hmm. Who would you sign out of Brokoff, Steindl, Blanchfield, Ruben Tarangi, and Glidden?
Oh, wow. That's a good one. That's a great question. Can I have that list again, please?
Sure. Ryan Brokoff, Clint Steindl, Todd Blanchfield, Ruben Tarangi, Cam Glidden.
All right, I'm going to sort of cut some names. Blanchfield, no. Tarangi, no.
Yep.
Glidden, no.
Okay, yep.
Is that a Brokoff and Steindl?
That's where I got to as well, just so you know.
Oh, wow. Oh. 1 year deal?
Wasn't stated, but let's say yes.
Oh, boy, that's
tough.
I am going to go with Clint Steindl.
Okay. Now, do you want me to give you the splits on these two players or do you want to explain yourself first?
Boy, they're both – Steindl's had a really bad year, but I am answering the question based off the information that both are healthy.
Okay.
And I think healthy – I just think Steindl's a lot longer and he can get his shot off. Yeah. He had that good year last year. Maybe I'm reaching a little far back, but Brokoff, I'm like, Steindl kind of has good year, bad year. You can ride that inconsistency, whereas Brokos is just not, I'm not making a great case, but yeah, give me the splits.
Okay, so Steindl, this is for this year. Steindl, 4.8 points per game against Brokos 10. Steindl, 29% threes against Brokos 38. And Steindl, 1.6 rebounds against 4 for Ryan Brokos.
I mean, here's the thing for me, and those, boy, they look bad, but those numbers for Steindl.
Yep.
But for me with Steindl is I'm not going to either of them for anything other than catch and shoot. And Brokos he had those great rebounding games, and that's where a lot of his impact was when he was good at the start of the year. But for me, Steindl, he's so gangly, man. When he's on, he can just curl, catch, shoot. And it's just, I like that predictability for a coach who just knows it. So that's my answer. That's a better, what did you do? I'm excited to hear your answer.
It's funny. I went through that same elimination process and got down to Steindl and Brokos. And I picked Steindl as well.
Wow. There's
just something about the fact you can run those curl cuts. Yeah. He can get his shot off. He can also just spot up shoot. And he just seems like he has more influence on a game than Brokos.
I agree.
Just sits in a corner.
There's a couple of moments where I've got a vision of Steindl hitting shots and then going to that far baseline camera and he turns around and kind of gives a pump and he's hurt. Yeah. He's hit on the play. I remember that stuff, and not just at Perth but also at Tasmania, and he's just hurt. And yeah. But not the sort of drifting injuries like Brokos has. He was healthy last year. Now he's hurt and not playing. Full stop. Not sort of in, out. Oh, is he? Will he? Won't they? I'm not surprised we've come to the same answer. There you go.
So we've chosen.
Yeah, and I appreciate Nick Tan and the others in the Discord for such a great question. And you too, listening, you could post questions like that. You could do something with your life. Get it. Stop listening to this crap. Get in there. Be your own podcast host or whatever.
I think that's everything for us today, isn't it? We've rabbited on a long time.
I think that's more than enough. One might argue probably too much. Anyway, we'll wrap it up. If you enjoyed the show and you're new listening and you're like, oh, you know what? I'd like to support them. Do indeed. Patreon. It's in the link. I think it's like $1 an episode. I mean, what can you do with $1? You can't even buy a bubble or bill. Fudge bar, $1.20, $1.40 now. It's over. So we'd appreciate that. Secondly, the live screening, I hate to bang on about it, but it's simple. Yeah, we'll be there. And if you like us or don't like us or whatever, Wildcats, Jack Jumpers, Inner Theatre, that game will be of consequence, you would think, for the top six.
Yep.
Worth $30, I would think, if you're in the area. Please do. Come and meet us and we'll be as nice as we can. Or Andrew will be our proxy. By the way, that piece to camera you did, selling it. I didn't have a lot of time to edit that. Andrew filmed it and did a great job.
Don't know about that, but
it was
very impromptu.
I still may do this. Splice it together with footage from the Blair Witch Project, you know, where she's talking to the camera. Because you're very sweaty. I don't know if you blink the whole time.
I was trying to do my intense looking at the camera, you know, eye contact with the lens. Yep. I'm a podcast guy. I'm not a TV guy.
I thought you were good. I saw that intensity. It was sort of a come here, the glare, right down the barrel of the fucking camera. So that was, you know, I thought the camera was going to look away from you and then come back to you and you just be, you know, face first into the corner, screaming, and Westerhout drops the camera and runs off. That was, and you're all sweaty. I don't know if it was hot in Perth.
It's always hot in Perth, man.
Yeah, that's very true. Good point. Yeah. Especially this time of year. So I can forgive you on that. But if you haven't seen that, people go and watch, have a laugh. But it's cut together quite well.
I need to get a new makeup guy, basically, is what you're telling me. Jeez.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. All right, Andrew, anything else to say?
I really hope this is recorded this time.